Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's March 21st, 2007, and this is show number 17. On today's show, we interview Make It Great guy Phil Gerbshack, who is an author, speaker, and the president of the National Help Desk Association. We talk to Phil about mixing work and play on the job. We also discuss dodgeball, Easter eggs, and lots of ways to have fun at work.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can, take me back now to the land. People sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim, saying hi from Studio 203 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or giving us a call at 608-554-0803. And it's a very fine rainy day here in Madison.
Yes, today's the first day of spring.
It is.
Yes.
Wow.
So, well, and you can tell it's spring because it's rainy. And
yeah, it's better than snow.
Yeah.
This is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start things off with the mind bender.
I peeked at this. This is going to be quite interesting.
Okay, well, our theme today is, you know, work and play all together. So when you think about work, here it is. What in your office contains 400 times more bacteria than a toilet?
That is nasty to think about. That something in your office has 400 times more bacteria?
Think about that, and we will reveal it at the end of the show.
Okay.
Now, in our frequently asked questions and feedback section, we had a ton of people respond to last episode. We had we asked people what their favorite children's books were.
Yes.
And we got a lot of responses.
It was neat to read, yeah.
So
I have a long book list now.
We're going to talk about that when we get to our promotion segment of who won and whatnot. But I did get an email I wanted to share from a girl named Andrea. Said, "Hello, Kim and Jason. I checked out your Jen Robinson feature today, and I thought I'd introduce myself." Now, Jen Robinson, of course, was the person we interviewed in our last show,
yep,
who has the blog about children's books. Andrea goes on to say, "I'm a fellow podcaster and one of the children's books fanatics behind the children's book podcast, Just One More Book, a podcast about the children's books we love and why we love them. Through this podcast and its website, we are building a lively, interactive community linking children's book authors, illustrators, readers, parents and children, and publishers. Busy parents can now discover great read-aloud children's books while they are busy doing the many tasks that would otherwise rob them of the opportunity to research great children's books in more traditional ways. I hope you will stop by and give us a listen and perhaps spread the word. Andrea." Well, thank you, Andrea, because we did stop by, and it is a really cool,
very cool
website.
JustOneMoreBook.com. What a cool title, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Check it out, because, you know, that's what kids say.
Just
one more story,
just
one more book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that idea of, like, giving you ideas of what books to read to your kids. So then that takes all the guesswork out of it. You can get some good recommendations. So definitely check out JustOneMoreBook.com. Also, if you, the listener, happen to have any comments, questions, or feedback on how to make the show better, we'd love to hear it. Just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. Plus, please help us out. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. It's in the show notes. You can help us get our rankings up. And tell a friend about the Escape Adulthood podcast. We appreciate you guys spreading the word.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good.
I mean, really good. Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Okay, to kick off our news section, Kim, you have something in the Business 2.0 magazine.
Yes.
Recent magazine. Go ahead.
It's an article by Monica Heger called Do-It-Yourself Office Space. If the world is our playground, why can't the office be one too? At communications firm JPL Productions, employees were given $500,000 to design their new digs. Among their handiwork, the sushi lounge, a meeting room with an Asian flair. The Majestic, a conference room remodeled after an old movie theater.
Sweet.
Gallery 471, which exhibits employee artwork. How cool is that? An e-learning island, a beach-themed room for midday lounging. And they have a picture of it here, which is very cool. Michael Horgan, the company's executive chairman, says letting employees create their workspaces boosts morale while showcasing their skills to prospective clients. Jason Minineski, director of meetings and events, says he's gotten to know coworkers in ways that he wouldn't have otherwise, and vice versa. On the lunchroom wall near one employee's framed reprimand from grade school and another's 1977 self-portrait is a photo from Minineski's college soccer playing days. People see me and are shocked that I once had long hair, he says with a laugh.
How
cool is that? And you know what's interesting is like showing their skills to prospective clients. It's like, you know, you think it's just all fun, but it really kind of shows, you know, your talents to some people who are coming in to maybe hire you.
Right. And you know what's a big deal? They say, you know, when you, there's all kinds of talk about sales and working with people, networking relationships. What it comes down to, people have said it, the experts time and again, people do business with people they like.
True.
And when you put forth a fun atmosphere that says, hey, this is who I am. People like to do business with people like that,
right.
You know? And, you know, it doesn't mean you're not. I mean, obviously, you look at these pictures and there's a very professional attitude about it, very good vibe going on, but there's also a lot of fun and whimsy. And
exactly.
It's like, this is not just, let's just, you know, have anarchy or anything like that. But again, I think it goes back to that thought of people like to do business with people that they like.
Right. And you know, it's funny, the couple pictures they show, it doesn't even look like this maybe, I don't know how big of a company this is, but the rooms don't look that big and they don't show any windows in the rooms. So like that whole design thing of like, okay, you have some smaller rooms, you have some dark rooms. How do you liven it up so you're not just in these like cubicle farms, you know? And just to make it a lot more playful is never a bad thing.
Absolutely. Now, I have another one continuing on this work and play theme we've got going on here. This is from Rejuvenile.com. It was in a blog post written by our buddy Christopher Noxon, who we interviewed a few shows back.
Yep.
Author of the book Rejuvenile. And the title is Are Fun and Work Oxymoronic? How fun is that word to say?
Yeah.
Christopher writes, Rejuvenile made a brief appearance Monday morning in the first hour of ABC's Good Morning America in a story about play at the workplace. Here's the gist of the GMA piece. Work is boring. A few office monkeys are fighting back with interdepartment playground slides, break room foosball tables, and other goofy innovations. All of which is nice enough, but I've got to say the story stirred the harumphing codger in me. Apparently, play at work is all about M&Ms and Nerf basketball. In our interview, I tried to emphasize that too often the merry chattering bosses who institute quote-unquote playful reforms are putting window dressing on salt mines. There is little more infuriating than having a wacky fun day hosted by an employer who skimps on health insurance or restricts family leave. I don't think there's any doubt a genuinely playful attitude toward work can benefit both worker and the bottom line, but it's not about bouncing balls or bobbleheads. It's about doing our work with the same wonder and imagination and sense of fun that too many workers ditch in the name of professionalism.
How about it?
There's a lot of insight in that one, and we have to thank him. He goes on to give a few resources in the bottom of the article, including adultitis.com. So
yeah.
Thank you for that. But he has, man, a ton of insight just in that one little post, doesn't he?
Yes. I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me is, okay, so you're working for an employer that doesn't really respect your, you know, needs for health insurance or your, you know, restricts you for family leave, and then they, you know, throw out some fun M&Ms and this and that, and maybe, you know, have like Hawaiian shirt day. And it's like, it's hard not to resent that, you know? Well, I mean, it's, there's something deeper there.
It's the quick fix thing. It's
right.
But having fun at work is not a quick fix to mask, like you said, a salt mine, a thing that's a terrible place to work. And you really have to have it at the core. Like, it's really, I mean, the best places to work go top down.
Yep.
And we talk about that in our interview coming up with Phil, of how important it is to have the people at the top really believe it and have it be part of the fabric of the company.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I like that too. Just, you know, it's about doing the work, he says, with the same wonder and imagination and sense of fun that too many workers ditch in the name of professionalism. People think if you're having fun, you must not be very professional.
Right. And the people who empower imagination and wonder, I mean, that's almost laughable these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless you're in like a creative job where you are forced to be creative, you know, some type of arts or something. I think a lot of people just think that's not very professional.
That's right. Well, that segues perfectly to our next segment with Phil. Okay, I'm totally stoked about this interview with Phil Gerbshack.
Yes.
We met him through the blogosphere and found out that he lives near Milwaukee, which is not too far away from Madison, where we live. So we had a chance to sit down and talk with him recently, get to know him better. And then we set up this interview because he had some great insights about having fun at work, mixing the two together. And we had talked in a previous segment, in the news segment, about you don't necessarily need to be a creative company to incorporate this sort of thing. And Phil works for a financial services firm, which is usually pretty stuffy.
Right.
Which is why
stereotypically.
Right. Which is why I think this interview is all the more relevant to anyone listening. Well, we are with Phil Gerbshack today. He is a motivational speaker and writer who challenges each individual whose life he touches to find their inner greatness. He believes that each person can unleash the power within by improving their attitude, setting goals, and changing their way of thinking. His mantra, "Make it great," is not just a statement, but a way of life, and he believes that it can be anyone's. Phil's current role is a help desk manager for a huge regional financial services firm. He is also president-elect for the Professional Help Desk Association, an organization that provides support professionals with regular opportunities to meet and share ideas and solutions to common challenges. Welcome, Phil. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Jason and Kim. Hello, hello.
Hello. It's good to have you here.
It is a great honor to have you here.
Oh, it's my honor to be here. So
thank you
for the opportunity.
Now, okay, your big current role is you're the head guy at a help desk, okay? And when I think of help desk, and I think probably a lot of people, the reality is you are the man dealing with anything that someone has problems with. So you're the end. You've got to make, and everyone, no one's coming to you just calling and saying, "Phil, my day is awesome. How are you?" You know,
my computer's working great, Phil.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So you know, one might think that a job like that, you'd have a lot of demanding people, and especially when you're dealing with people in the financial sector, they can be very, let's say, impatient at times. But
as
I know,
with any sector.
As Kim and I have talked to you and learned more about you, you do an awesome job of keeping a great attitude, and not only that, but transferring that to your team that you're responsible for leading. So tell us about how that works. How do you do that, and what are some of the ways that you and your team have fun at work?
Wow. Well, with that intro, this will be fun to come behind. But we do have a great time, and a lot of it is simply because we realize that we have a job to do, and we contribute in a very meaningful way by helping people who are not technically savvy fix their computer and learn how to use it more effectively. So we really focus on our core competency and our strength, which is really doing the computer stuff and just answering the questions and doing it in a patient way. So that kind of makes it fun, because when people call up and say, hey, I've got a stupid question. The real answer is you don't have a dumb question, because if I asked you a finance question, you wouldn't think that I was dumb.
Right.
So the key is to stay in your zone, and whatever you're good at, you need to do more of that and less of what you stink at. So we're computer people, so that really helps. And so to keep a positive attitude, a lot of that is just realizing that people are calling because they're not happy.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, we as much as I would love to believe that, you know, everyone loves computers as much as we do, that's not close to true. You know, we know that people often are intimidated by them. They think that they can break them. They think that it's either their fault, so they take it personally. When the computer doesn't work, it's, oh, no, I broke it. Or on the other end, it's the, why did you do this to me? Mm-hmm. Why did you force this upgrade on me?
Okay.
So really, our job is to kind of be like suicide prevention hotline operators. Talk them off the ledge. No, don't jump. Yeah. Don't push the computer off the ledge. So that's kind of our attitude when we have that. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm the escalation guy. My team handles the day-to-day, and they do an awesome job of that. My job is really to kind of be their safety net. When somebody is super unhappy, then they get to talk to me, because then I get to talk them off and explain to them that, you know, it's okay.
Life is still worth living, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. We're not in an emergency room. We have no people dying, no babies crying. It's you know, it's just a computer. So that really helps.
It's all about perspective, isn't it?
Have you seen that movie, Office Space, with the scene where they take that photocopier and they put it out in the field and they all kick it instead?
Beat it
with a bat. Do you know what I'm talking about,
yeah?
Phil?
Oh, yeah. PC load letter! PC load letter! Oh, yeah. So, yeah, those are the most frustrating, because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
And, you know, that's, you know, I think a lot of being on the help desk is a lot like life. You kind of just have to triage and get through sometimes. And it can be frustrating, but, you know, as long as you're patient with the process, you can make it through.
That's awesome. I think it totally ties in with one of our 8 secrets from the Escape Adulthood book, which is maintain proper perspective.
Yes.
And you talking about that, you know, people aren't dying.
We're not in an emergency room.
Yeah, my dad has a kind of a neat line he uses that says, never waste time worrying about something that can't cry.
Right.
Which is kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, you know?
Definitely.
Now, I know that when we talked before, you had mentioned that you guys have some fun hijinks that you bring in from time to time, different monthly Olympic-style events, and sort of fun things that you might not think would ordinarily go on in the bowels of a financial services firm sort of thing. So what are some of those things that you guys do to have fun and bring that into the workplace?
Sure. Well, that's those are closely guarded secrets. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
No, I will be happy to share them. No, we do lots of fun things. We do have Office Olympics once a month, and some of those things that we do, we've had chair races where you push each other around the office in a chair. We tried three-legged races, but around a floor with a guy and a girl matched up that are nowhere near the same height. Don't try that at home, okay? I'm just going to warn you, that doesn't work.
Take notes on that, okay.
Yes, yeah, but we had paper airplane like contest to see who could throw the paper airplane the farthest.
Okay.
We have had, for Valentine's Day, there was a big scavenger hunt where you had to get a clue starting from some area and then move to different areas of the firm. Like accounting, you had to do a complex financial calculation. But the finance department helped you.
Okay.
You didn't have to do it alone.
Okay.
So like in IT, they, because... actually, it wasn't my team that did it. Actually, our HR department did. They had to come and sing to my team.
Oh.
And then to win the game, they had to sing to the coffee shop downstairs. They had to sing "I'm a Little Teapot."
Oh.
So that was pretty fun.
Awesome.
We had a float day where we actually spray painted boxes and made a little school bus. And if you've ever been in an office building, spray paint and cubicles don't work. They don't mix. Yeah,
not
don't
good
do that.
Circulation, huh?
Yeah, so we had a lot of high associates that day, but they were very happy to be on the phone.
I bet.
Sure, a lot of problems got solved too, huh?
Sure. sure. Well, Friday afternoons, you know, that's when we can have fun. And we've played our favorite, though, is the rubber band game, where you snap rubber bands and try to knock over CDs with all the manager's pictures on them. So that was a lot of fun. You put the manager's picture on it, and you know, the first line of managers are only one CD thick, so you only get 1 point for knocking them down. Then you get three for then the kind of the middle manager, and then 5 points for knocking over the CTO's stack. But his is about 15 CDs thick.
Wow.
So the only way to do that, the only way to do that is to cheat like I did and just go kick it over. Fortunately, that doesn't work. You can't win that
one. Don't get the points for that, huh?
Right.
Do you guys have any prizes for, like, the Olympics or anything? Or is it just kind of, like, the reward of
pride?
Well, pride is big, but we also give 2 hours of PTO. We also give out, usually you can win, like sometimes we'll give away ice cream, or we'll give away like free coffee coupons, or really just about anything. But then we also, the fun part about that is that culminates every month, not just with Office Olympics, but then a recognition, which we call the Big Fish. The Big Fish is where someone nominates someone, and they put something that they did that either was fun or that they were there for someone, and then we draw that out of a hat every month, the Fish Committee does, and then we present it to them, and they get to sit in a nice, you know, $1,800 Ames chair.
Nice.
They get a coffee coupon, they get a chair massage, they get lunch, and they get to carry around the traveling fish.
Oh,
nice.
So they get the big stuffed fish that they get to carry around, and it's a lot of fun, and we have a lot of fun with that.
And
so we keep it light.
And you talk about the fish. This is from that book, right?
Right, from the Fish Philosophy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's all – now this is, if I know correctly, this isn't just you. This is sponsored from higher up in your organization, that they all – that this – these games are perfectly legitimate.
You guys, like, so down. If, like, some higher-ups come in your office, you know, like, Friday afternoon, you don't have
fired
to, like,
on the spot.
Yeah, you don't have to all, like, hurry up and scurry back to your desks and pretend like you weren't doing anything, right?
No, in fact not. No, in fact, the chief operations officer's assistant often will be one of the judges for our Death by Chocolate.
Ooh.
She will be there taking pictures. We had a celebrity look-alike contest. In fact, we've tried to get our COO involved in the festivities, but for some reason he doesn't want to play, and he doesn't want his picture snapped either. So we don't put him in there, but he does come up, and from time to time will encourage us to continue to have fun, and we've tried to filter that through the rest of the company by a program called Fish Friends, where we nominate another department and then solicit feedback about that department, and then give them we bake them cookies, and then we go down and present them a nice framed piece of paper that tells them everything that they do, that we appreciate them. Like, we appreciate the payroll department at the end of the year because they have to process all the 1099s and all of that stuff at year end and make sure that we get paid.
Right. So which is good. That's important. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Pay is good.
Well, what sort of impact do you think all of this makes on your team? I mean, I know you talk about, you know, it's kind of across the board, but, like, the specific people that you're managing and that you work with, do you see some benefits in their attitudes, or, you know, what kind of things do you see from them?
Yeah, well, teamwork is probably the biggest impact that we see on my team, and that's because we have two people on my team that sit on the Fish Committee with me, where they go to the meetings and they get to be creative and throw their ideas out there, and then they get to help coordinate those, and then the rest of the team gets to play.
Sure.
They get to take part in the events. So they get, and it's really, it helps us be more cross-functional, because we're able to then spend time with the developers and spend time with our network engineers and guys and gals who often, they're not always the people. Like, my team, that's their job. My, you know, the help desk, if they don't love people, they shouldn't be on the help desk.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone in IT is that way.
Okay.
So the cross-functionalness is great. And really going up, my manager actually she has just completely come out of her shell. And she's the chairperson of the Fish Committee. And she just the impact that it's had on her has just been amazing. You can just see her light up when she's in those fish meetings. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. Now, I don't know if you'll realize how much of a compliment this really is, but I am not, when I think of like a normal 9-to-5 corporate job, and 9-to-5 is kind of funny because I know you work way more than that, but like that typical thing, I want nothing to do with that. But when you talk about what a work day is like for you guys in incorporating this fund, you actually make me think that I wouldn't mind working at a place like that.
That is
like,
a compliment, that, Phil. That's, you know, a very big compliment.
I think that's how they should all be, you know?
Aw. Well, that's cool. Well,
Jason hates structure, so that's a huge compliment.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. The fact is, unfortunately, you guys are few and far between if you looked across the board. And so what would you say? And not that you're obviously the only people that are incorporating fun, but unfortunately there's a lot of places that are, you know, play it completely by the rules. And
which is what makes the movie Office Space funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say to people who don't think things like these, like work and play should be mixed, you know, especially in typically quote-unquote serious industries like finance
or law
mm-hmm. or things like that, you know, where there is a certain professionalism that needs to be maintained. But what would you say to those people who think this is just a bunch of silliness that's a waste of time?
Well, the first thing I do, and you can't see this, but I'm sticking my tongue out. That would be the first thing I would do, because that's just silly. I think that if you're not having fun at work, you're not unleashing people's productivity. It's mm-hmm. a break in the day. A break in the week, a break in the month. Even if you only do things once a month, you certainly can break it up for people, because really, how long can you be just locked in to whatever it is that you're doing
right.
before you crack?
Right.
So really, I think any industry, obviously being sensitive to clients' needs. I mean, if clients are in the office, that is not the time to goof off.
Right.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Certainly. We all would agree that when we're doing our job, that's probably not the time to be silly.
Right.
But finding time that is outside of that, Friday afternoon, for instance, is often less busy. Mm-hmm. So we're able to then take Friday afternoon and turn that into fun time
mm-hmm.
and make that so that, you know, employees look forward to the end of the week instead of saying, oh, finally it's Friday, I can't wait to go home because I'm so tired,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it gives people kind of something different to look forward to on Friday. And I think just start small. I mean, we do things like just sending out just an inspirational quote of the day.
Hmm.
I mean, you don't have to play hard. Mm-hmm. There's more than one fish philosophy. There's, you know, be there. So if do things like we get involved with Second Harvest. So we'll go and we'll dive into a food drive and we'll collect a bunch of food. So that helps some people do better. We do the play. I mean, we talked a lot about that. But that's only one of the aspects. And then have a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't cost you any money to smile.
Right.
I mean, just,
yeah.
you know, just go smile and then, you know, make someone else's day. Well, I tell you what, a lot of days, if it's busy, I'll be the guy that goes and gets everybody coffee,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, hey, you need a cup of coffee? You need some water? Can I get you a soda? Do you need something? You know, and really, that comes, you know, and the key is that it has to start from the top.
Right.
I mean, it can start at the bottom, but often then there's going to be no buy-in from the top. But if the top realizes, and you take the time as an employee to explain to your manager, maybe buy them and just set it on their desk, the Fish Philosophy book,
mm-hmm.
highlight it, say, hey, boss, you need to read this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times you can change an attitude in just a couple minutes. You know, and the key is the passion. I mean, if you're passionate about having fun and making it a better place to work, it will be. You know, you just have to, you know, be intentional about it. And it's not an accident that we've been a best place to work for Fortune magazine for 4 years in a row.
Wow.
We take it seriously. You know,
mm-hmm.
we want to have fun. We want to be a better place, and there's always room for improvement.
Hmm. Well, that goes along. You kind of answered the next question, but I want to see if you have any other thoughts on it. Like, for those people who are working in a job where the upper management has adultitis and doesn't share that similar approach to fun in the workplace, like you said, you know, one idea is to give them the Fish Philosophy book, set it on their desk and say, hey, you might want to give this a read, which it's such a quick read. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
it's so unintimidating as far as, like, I mean, I think it took me like an hour to read it. It was just,
which is also amazing because Kim is not a reader.
I know. So. I know. So, but, like, are there any other ideas that, and I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you weren't, or where it wasn't as welcomed, you know, as it is in your current, you know, place that you work. But, like, are there any other ideas that you can give for those people who kind of feel trapped and kind of feel like, you know, they want to go kick their computer and all that stuff?
Or are they doomed to a dull, boring workplace?
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh. Yeah.
It is not terminal, just like adultitis. It is not terminal. The key is to just experiment and find other places that are having fun, especially when you know, pick up a copy of Fast Company or even better, pick up a copy of Motto Magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, Motto's mantra is making, you know, passion, purpose, and profit in the workplace.
Mm.
So, you know, just pick up a copy of Motto and read it. And when you find an article that shows somebody doing something, it doesn't even have to be fun, just something unorthodox, make a copy of that article and hand it to your boss and say, listen, we don't have to do this the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We can be different. It's okay. Now, that's going to mean something different for every industry, for every company. But just try it. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt a bit to try something for an hour.
Right.
You know, and if it doesn't work, try something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only real failure is just stopping and doing nothing.
Yeah, right. It's true.
And I think, you know, half of it, like you say, is just giving it a try and maybe, you know, presenting something to your boss as an idea. Because what, like Jason says in his programs, inside every single person, there is a little kid just dying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like sometimes I think people just get in these ruts and they don't realize that, wow, I haven't played in a while. And maybe it wouldn't be threatening to have, you know, someone mention it. Maybe it would be a welcome of like,
sometimes
oh, thank
they need permission.
You.
Yeah.
You know, I needed that. You know, so that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always tell my team that it's easier to ask me for forgiveness than it is to ask me for permission. So just give
that's
it a try.
Yeah.
See what happens. You know, and if it stinks, well, then think about why you did it. And if the reason's good, then let's try something else just like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, let's see what else might be better. What else might be more effective. You know, I've read a book to my team on dog poop. That didn't go over real well, but, you know, it loosened them up,
yeah.
You know, and now, you know, we do all sorts of goofy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to get us that title so we can put that in the
dog
show
notes. Dogpoopinitiative.com from
nice.
Kirk Wiesler. Yeah,
okay.
It's a great book.
Put that in the show notes. We'll put a link to that fish book for sure.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to your book, too. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah.
Because I know you have a new version coming out.
Yeah.
Yes, sure. Yeah, 10 Ways to Make It Great is the title of my book, and it's a book about 10 ways, and now with the new and improved version 2.0, it has 11 ways that you can make it great.
Now, is it like more expensive of a book because you have this other 11th secret, 11th way in there?
Well, I am charging $14.99 for the new version,
okay.
But only because it costs a little more to produce.
Ah, okay. So it's like it's, you just get that free then. It's just, you know,
yes.
It's just thrown in there. What a value.
Absolutely. But with that, though, you can order directly from me, and shipping and handling is free.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Nice
so,
feature.
So, yeah.
So 11 ways to make it great.
Yep, 11 ways to make it great. So, yeah, just little things that you can do to take your life from where you are to where you want it to be.
Okay. Mm.
Nice. And the website, makeitgreat.org, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's a link right to my blog.
And
you have
blog there. You have all kinds of stuff.
A
like
great newsletter.
A lot of information and things like that. So we'll definitely include that in the show notes and invite people to check it out because there is a really you're all over the place. You got a lot of connections and you got a lot of resources and a lot of great tips for doing exactly what you're talking about, which is make it great.
And the thing I love about your stuff, Phil, is that it's so, like, doable, you know? It's not like these things where you're like, okay, well, that looks great on paper, but I can never apply that to my life. Like, your book has, like, spots for you to write and you know, kind of activities to try and to be able to write down and look back on. And I think that is a really, you have a really great talent with bringing it to, like, reality stage, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's the goal. Yeah, it's written at a fifth grade level, but yet the exercises
so I could read
are
it,
really
then.
Hard.
Yes.
You could, or Kim could read it to you, Jason.
Yay.
Okay.
Too.
Okay. Yeah.
It'd be harder to do the exercises if you didn't have a copy.
Okay.
But,
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Now, okay, we're going to wind down here. We have one more question. We always like to ask a childhood question. So,
sure.
What was your favorite game? We're talking about games playing. What was your favorite game to play as a kid?
Oh, well, I'll I'll give you two, because one of them is probably not as fun, and that's Trivial Pursuit.
Okay.
I'm a knowledge geek. Some may call me like Rain Man. So I have too much of a memory. So that was fun. But I always I actually like to play cribbage a lot.
Cribbage.
Yeah, with my grandma and with my mom and my brothers. In fact, in eighth grade, we actually had a whole section on cribbage and learning to count to 15 and practicing number sequence and things like that. And then we got to teach that back to the younger kids.
Wow. That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cribbage.
You know, it's like I've heard of that game, but I have no idea. I've never played it. I don't know why.
I have not either. Yeah.
Dice, right, Phil?
Cribbage is actually, it's a card game that's played on a board. The goal is to get 121 points, and you count 15s, you count pairs, you count runs, and you count the same suit.
Okay.
So the best hand is 29 hand. In fact, they make a 29 hand board that my grandmother, before she passed, gave all of us kids a 29 board. So that's kind of a prized possession, and we play on that whenever we get together.
And did you learn the game from your grandmother?
Between my grandma and my mom, I can't give either one more or less credit.
Okay.
But they both did that, and it was cool.
We'll have to play that sometime.
Yeah, you'll have to teach us how to play it.
Luckily, you're not too far away from us over near Milwaukee. We're in Madison, so of course we can maybe set up a time and learn a new game. That'd be great.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to teach, and then if you want to get a head start, Yahoo Games, you can play for free.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
All right. All right. Well, Phil, our time is about up, but I just wanted to thank you for your great insight, for taking the time. I know that the people listening will hopefully have some really great ideas to come back to their workplace to make it not only more fun but more productive and build that teamwork and stuff. And again, everyone, check out makeitgreat.org. Check out all of Phil's stuff, his book. Thank you so much
for being with us, Phil.
Oh, my pleasure. Let's do this again sometime for sure.
Definitely. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Have a good rest of your night.
Thanks. You guys too.
Take care.
Well, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
He's a great interview.
Yeah.
And great energy, great ideas.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't checked out his book, 10 Ways to Make It Great, do it, because it's so, like I said, it's so hands-on. It's like you read some thoughts, you write journal, try this activity. It's very, very practical and very inspiring.
That's right.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on
Wheel of Fish!
Oh, goody, goody! I've done a good thing, and I get a prize!
Okay, in our promotion, last month's promotion, we asked the question, what was your favorite children's book? And we've got a deluge of responses from people.
Yes.
So it was very hard to pick them out. It was pretty much practically a random selection because, we're not going to judge the quality of children's books.
But do we have time to read them all at this point. So.
We did pick one because she had a good insight. And her name is Jennifer. And we don't know what her last name is, but we will get in touch with her by email. But Jennifer said, my favorite children's book is Mandy by Julie Edwards. I remember reading it as a child and being transported. Last year, I was able to read it aloud to my daughter and share with her again. I could tell that she was as captivated as I had once been and was again. Jennifer.
Oh, cool. I think that's got to be one of the coolest things about being a parent is, sharing those things that you loved about your childhood with your kids.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think that's like we talked about in the last show. That's how you pass on this love for reading is through parents or grandparents.
Yep, Jennifer shared that that's how she got into it.
Yeah, it's so important. Such an important job for parents, that spending that time. And definitely worth it. And so for Jennifer, we thank everyone for contributing. And Jennifer, you, because you're the winner, you get a $20 gift certificate to the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand.
Yeah.
But we have another one to give out this month, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do. This month's promotion, what's your favorite way to have fun at work? Call or email us for a chance to win another $20 gift certificate from the Lemonade Stand. If you want to call, it's 608-554-0803, or you can email us at podcast@kimandjason.com.
Can't wait to hear from you.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
And now, here with an unlimited
supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Okay, we've got the K&J update portion of our show. I'm very excited. We have a promotion going on right now on our lemonade stand from now until Easter. And it is actually an Easter egg hunt.
Dun-da-da-dun!
Yes, so, of course, in the spirit of
childhood,
we're having an Easter egg hunt. So on the lemonade stand, throughout the pages of the store, you will find 10 different Easter eggs that are hidden somewhere. And you have to really look, because some of them are kind of tricky. And, of course, the easier ones are, you know, kind of some of those, what are some of the prizes you win for the easy
eggs? A dollar off your order.
Okay.
You know, a couple dollars off, 10%,
free,
you know, things like that.
Something.
Goes up to free shipping, goes up to you could win a matted print if you find a certain egg.
Oh, cool.
But the be all and end all, there's one egg that someone will win that has the most coolest prize ever.
Is it a gold egg?
No, it is not a gold egg.
Oh, okay.
It's just an Easter egg.
Okay. Well, what do you win?
You tell them.
Okay.
You know.
I know.
Play this game.
I know,
but it's
exciting.
We're both completely giddy about this.
I know.
Okay.
You will win a ride in a hot air balloon.
That's true. We are giving away a hot air balloon ride.
Yes. Because, you know, like the whole Easter egg basket. Well, we're going to put you in a basket and float you up in the air. How cool is that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how it works, you'll get a certificate. And I think there's like over 200 locations that this certificate is good for. So,
unless
wherever
you live
you are,
totally out in the boonies.
Antarctica, maybe.
And you have to drive to go to the grocery store, you know.
Yeah, like, then that
then
might not
you should
work.
Be fine.
So, so if you would like to win a hot air balloon ride, go take the Easter egg hunt. Go hunting at the lemonade stand.
Yes.
And we'll have, in the show notes, we'll have a link to the store and a link to more details about the promotion.
Yep. And what else do we have going on?
Well, the other new thing that we just launched this week is the brand new Club K&J.
Okay.
Which is pretty much starting with this episode. We have a whole new... We have a new clubhouse, first of all, that anyone can go to. You go to kimandjason.com, click on Club K&J. You'll see the clubhouse. You'll see all of the new features that we have, the new things that are coming out, the podcasts, the new episodes of Escape Plan TV, which are coming out, and we have some hilarious footage.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but it involves me and Kim and a giraffe.
Yes.
Okay? And it's going to be in episode number 3, I think, in Colorado Springs. So... lots of new things. But there's, when you sign up for Club K&J, there are 3 different levels of membership for a year, and there are all sorts of things that you get. We'll probably talk about more of them as episodes go along. But for now, you just want to definitely check it out. And we also have coming out in June something I'm completely excited about, which will only be available to Club K&J members, and it is the Kim and Jason magazine.
Yes.
It'll be a magazine that is downloadable, and it is just jammed with cool stuff. Things to help you live life with less stress and more fun.
Yep, it's awesome.
Yeah, we've got some great contributors, and I'm totally excited about it, and I think you guys will too. So check it out at the show notes, the Clubhouse, Club K&J.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Now for the cool thing, something cool that will help you escape adulthood. Well, if you guys have been, you know, active on our blogs or anything, you will have seen that our chief sales servant, Jenna, who works with us, has her own blog now. It's called AKA Chief Sales Servant.
Yep.
And it is awesome. She just gives a plethora of ideas and tips of, you know, basically...
gift ideas and...
perspective on customer service and what is this whole, if you're wondering what in the world is a chief sales servant, check it out. She'll explain it all to you. But just recently, this past weekend, she highlighted a product that I think is going to be a cool thing for the week or the month, because it is called Dodge'em. And it is a desktop game that you bring to work that has all these little wooden characters that you can play dodgeball
different
with.
Kids.
Yeah. The funny thing is when you actually look at the little kids, there's one guy that's picking his nose, a little guy that's sticking out his tongue, kind of like the instigator, you know, that you want to slam that ball right in his face or something. A little tattletale girl that's like pointing.
A girl to nail her.
Yeah.
one with braces, another one with buck teeth. So it's just playful. There's this little bitty red ball that you get to like line them up and knock them down.
Try to knock them down.
But check out Jenna's blog because she has a really fun, playful story about dodgeball. And then she found this video. I don't know if it's YouTube.
Classic. Yeah, it's YouTube.
Awesome. You gotta watch this video about dodgeball. It is really, really good. So so that's our cool thing. Just something fun to add to your workplace that might get some people laughing, and when people come to your desk, they might, you know, grab the ball and knock some of the kids down, and a little conversation starter.
Bring that childlike spirit to the workplace. Now is the time of the show where we will reveal the end, the final answer of our mind bender.
Okay.
Which you might remember was, what in your office contains 400 times more bacteria than a toilet? And the answer is your desk.
Ew.
The average work desk has 400 times more bacteria than a toilet. So next time you're out and about, you might want to buy some Lysol, a little disinfectant. And that's just kind of gross to think about,
well,
isn't
how
it?
How often do you really Lysol your desk if you think about it? It's just months and months of buildup.
Yeah.
Toilets get cleaned a lot more.
That's true.
You know,
I was going to guess the glass of the copy machine.
Oh.
And I'll let you guess why I think that might be.
Copying things?
Well, copying things.
Who really does that?
I don't know. Not here. Not
no,
here. But,
no.
You know, that was going to be my second choice. So,
nasty.
We'll see.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Our prescription for this week, this episode, think of one way, just one way, that you can bring a little playfulness to your workplace. Think about that for a second. Okay, there's got to be one thing. You can start at the top, go straight to your boss, you know, bring them the fish book like Phil talked about in our interview, or just do something playful between a few of your coworkers. Maybe you have a little group that you sit together. And then here's the key, as always, do it.
Yes, don't just think about it.
Yes, first you have to think about it, then you have to do it, because if you think about it, it does nothing good for you unless you actually do something about it.
Very true.
So figure out a way to bring a little bit of playfulness into your workplace.
That's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes, featuring links from some of the things that we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.